Your Bibles, Exodus chapter 20, Exodus chapter 20. I'm really going to cover verses 1 through 11, but we're going to read through verse 21 tonight. And I won't cover through verse 11. I don't know. I really don't know how far I'm going to get. And but let's just read through verse 21 tonight. And remember the scene. The scene here, Exodus 19, was preparing for worship. God is coming down. He comes down on Mount Sinai and Mount Oreb, and you'll see it referred to that as well with Moses. But he comes down to Mount Sinai, and he visits with the people. Now, you'll see this reiterated later as we read through Exodus, that this pronouncement, these words of God, were heard by all the people. All the people. You'll see that tonight in Exodus 20. I showed you that last week in Exodus 19. So let's read this. The famous Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. And we'll talk more. And God, verse 1, Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. Again, this is a scene. When you go back to Exodus 19, look at verse 1. It says, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt. So we are, in the third month after they departed from Egypt. So it's not that long, So it would sort of feel like it's this kind of time, So it's been the same time it's been since Christmas, if you want to think of it that way, right? So however long you feel like Christmas has been, it feels like another decade ago, right? Just life is so much. But that's about how long it would be, January, February, and we're into March. That would be about where they're at. And much has happened in their life as well. Title of the message tonight, just the law of God. Now, let me help you with this. When we talk about the law of God, and I'm going to oversimplify, but I'm also happy to have other conversations, there really are three laws that the Bible talks about, right? There is the civil law. And so I'll just show you this here in just a second, that there's 613 commandments in the Old Testament. 248 are positive, 365 are negative. I counted them last night. No, I didn't. I'm trusting that somebody was right on this. Okay, so just 613 commandments in the Old Testament. And so many of them were civil laws for the nation of Israel. Civil law. So we're going to have three types of law. We're going to have civil, ceremonial, and then the moral law, if you'll allow. And I believe that when the Bible talks about the law, it's generally talking about the moral law, the Ten Commandments, that those commandments that are written on our hearts. So you got the civil law. That would be the laws that God gave Israel, because God also created government. And Israel had a theocracy initially, and God was their leader, God was their king, and God would rule over them. But he still had laws in place to avoid anarchy and to help guide the people, right? So that is, it's always, the laws of God are good. If you make sure you hear that tonight, because you know, God's law is what we've broken, but it is good to show us what is right and wrong. So you have the civil law, which really was for the nation of Israel. And in many of our laws in our nation, it's called Lex Rex. It's from the English law that is the foundation for many of our laws. If you see many of our laws, many of them have a root within the Bible, within the Levitical law, within Exodus, when he gives more instruction to Moses here, as we'll see in the weeks to come. And so the civil law is how to govern yourselves and have some clarity with how to administer punishment, right? So God has set up governments to for the good of the people that do right and for the punishment of people that won't. It's the ceremonial law. It's all of the feasts and all of the ceremonies that the Levitical priest would enact and follow through with, right? So it was all of the feasts, all of the sacrifices, all of the ceremonies. That would be the ceremonial law, right? And so then we have the moral law, and I believe that's what we deal with in the Ten Commandments. I'm simplifying, but it is in this vein, right? So then we'll talk about this in future weeks. The first four commandments are our duty to God, right? When you see this, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's with God. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. That's with God. Thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain. That's with God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's with God. The next six are duties to man. Duties to man. Honor thy father and thy mother. And there's a promise with that, that thy days may be long upon the earth. Thou shalt not kill. That's a protection for our neighbor's family. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That protects our neighbors as well. Thou shalt not steal. Protects our neighbors as well. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Protects our neighbor's reputation. And thou shalt not covet. The reason I kept mentioning neighbors is because Jesus summed up the law this way. And I want you to see that, because it really was a beautiful summary when you understand this. Matthew 22, verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer or a Pharisee, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. That sums up the first four commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. And he said, this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. He said, you know, really, you can sum up God's instruction, love God and love your neighbor. And that's what he did here. And so so here's the question. Did the law exist before Mount Sinai? And this is a question, and I've heard a lot of bad answers from this. And because I also want to remind you with this. We are about 2,500 years into human history. Yes, about 2,500 years into human history. This is also just a reminder. I know you know this. They didn't have any scripture for 2,500 years. That's kind of shocking. Now, I talked to people about this. It wasn't as bad as it sounds. If we were without the Bible, I don't know how you could pastor. I mean, I literally am that dependent on the Bible to tell me what to do, what to preach, where to go, how to when I'm wrong, all those things. It's just, I love living when I live, that I have the printing press and I have the Bible. But let me tell you, I'll shorten it, how in God's brilliance, how did they, Adam lived 930 years. I think I talked this with, you know, Glow and Kevin the other night, right? And I think you guys did, but people ask us all the time, are those the same years as ours? No, they're dog years. They're dog years. No, they're not. They're not. They're real years. They're real years, right? So it is. But it's a legitimate question. You know, 930 years Adam lived, and Methuselah lived 969, and by all evidence, it appears that the flood came when Methuselah died. So with that, you've got to understand this. So you got two men, Adam and Methuselah, and Adam and Methuselah overlapped 400 years. Adam, you think, you know, he had a passion for the gospel? Oh, yeah. When he would see you sin, he'd be like, oh, why did I listen to Eve? No, he would take responsibility. It's a joke. He would take responsibility for his sin. You know, murder, death, just sadness. Adam had to embrace the forgiveness of God, but he also let it be a propulsion for him to preach the gospel. But do you see that? So we get from Adam to the flood with two godly men that would preach the gospel. And other people would be saved, and other people would preach it. But I will tell you this, I don't think anybody preached it like Adam did. I mean, Adam, if he could not receive and embrace the forgiveness of God, would go insane, would he not? But he had to trust in the Lord. And so God covered that time. And then just 500 years after the flood, he calls Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees and begins and establishes the Jewish nation so that a nation through whom he would bring the Messiah. So we're 2,500 years into history. And so God gives Moses the law, and he gives him all the law, right, at Mount Sinai. Did they have the law before now? Yes. They did. I want you to understand, yes, exclamation mark. And so, just look at Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, it says, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, so they weren't given the law at Mount Sinai. The Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law, talking about the Gentiles, these Gentiles having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness in their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. I want to tell you this. You've heard me say this, but the law was written on their hearts. Everybody knew what was right and wrong. When did the law get written on Adam and Eve's heart? Boom, right when they sinned. Boom. What was the tree they ate of? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They knew evil for the first time when they ate the fruit. I want you to understand this. God then put the law in written form. And we were getting to the point that people would argue, well, who says you're right about the law? And, you know, like we are today, that says, well, that's just your opinion. And God finally said, no, it's not. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And then he gave the details of the civil law as well. I want you to understand, did the law exist before Mount Sinai? The answer is yes. And so I want you to understand, why did God give us the commandments? Why did God give us the commandments? What's the purpose of the commandments? Here we go. Okay, I messed up. For our good. For our good is one of the first things, right? And he just tells us this, Deuteronomy 6:3, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Everything God does is for our good. I want you to understand this. Your life will be better if you lie less. Your life will be better if you don't steal. Your life will be better if you don't commit adultery. Your life will be better if you don't use the Lord's name in vain. That's not going to get you to heaven. But God gave us the commandments for our good. But here's what everybody believes. And so where it derailed tonight with the Muslim family that I was with, when I said, well, all false religions, and I said, including Islam, have the same thing in common. I said, you think you're getting to heaven Because you're fasting right now. And you can't wait till I leave because it's almost sundown. You could tell I was in the way of their dinner. Right? Ramadan. They fast until sundown. And I said, I asked the husband because he didn't like to speak because he said his English wasn't that good. But I said, does goodness erase badness? And he said, my English isn't good. I said, but you understood what I said, right? Does goodness erase badness? He said, no. I said, but that's what you're hoping for. And then I probably got too personal. You know how I do. I just crossed the line. I kind of picked up on that analogy. And I said, what if I kidnapped your daughter? And I said, and I took her for 10 years. And I said, then they catch me and I stand before the judge and I list out all the good things I did while I still had your daughter. And the judge goes, case dismissed. Did you see all these good things this guy did? One kidnapping. What a great guy. I looked at her and I said, did justice occur? She goes, no. I said, but that's what you think Allah's going to do. On that big golden scale, good deeds on one side, bad deeds on another. And I said, it's a lie of the devil, and every false religion has that. Hindus, just be good, and you might come back as a cow. Hopefully not an American cow, because McDonald's is here. Right? Let me tell you, I asked my Hindu friend one time, I said, he went to McDonald's with me, and I said, Ram, I thought you didn't eat beef. And he goes, I'm Mexican beef. I go, you got to be kidding me. I said, it's probably your aunt that was shipped over here from India. And he gave me a lot of leeway, right? But it is, you know, when you start thinking about that, it's all about goodness. It's all about goodness. I met one of the nicest guys that I've met door knocking in ages. And he was a talker, 65, 70, pretty young. And he wanted to show me all, he was just going project to project, and I just didn't have the heart to say, I need to go, but about all the things he was doing for his church. His name was Jeff. I looked at him and I said, Jeff, I said, I just want to ask you this. If you died tonight, you know for sure you're going to heaven. And he said, I'm working on it. And I said, Jeff, if you asked me when I was born, and I told you I'm working on it, you'd think I was crazy. You know I have a birthday. I said, Jeff, I want you to know that it's not your goodness that's going to get you to heaven. I tried to share the gospel. He did listen. What I loved is he was bringing out all the literature he was reading, and it was different Baptist churches that giving him literature. So I was thankful for that. But I was so concerned that I met a Matthew 7 man. Let me just say, you should have seen the projects that he did at the church that he's at, a United Methodist church. And grew up Roman Catholic, he said. His wife was Methodist, and so, you know, he just keep the peace. He wanted to go to church every week, but nothing was clicking. Man, what a nice guy. I hope that Jeff was saved. But all he wanted to do was show me the good works that he'd done, and I appreciated it. I said, well, we got some things to do at our church. I didn't say that. But, you know, Matthew 7 says, many will come to me in that day, in the day of judgment, and say, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? And he says, depart from me, ye work iniquity, I never knew you. I don't know. It was a hard visit for me because there wasn't any follow-up. He was just a nice guy. I'm going to pray for Jeff. In the weeks to come, because Jeff is one of the nicer guys, but most people think you get to heaven by being good. You don't. God gave us the commandments for our good, but he also gave them to us to show our guilt and ultimately save us. I want you to understand this. It's so straightforward in the Bible. I want to show you these verses, and they'll come back. We'll use these verses again. These are familiar verses. This is really the crux of the matter. When I go through these verses with lost people, I'll go through these verses with saved people, that they would understand this, that our only hope is in the work of Christ, not our own work. It says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, I've gone through this with Corinthians recently, It saith to them who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. God gave us the law, if you will, the Ten Commandments written on our hearts that we know what's right and wrong. That every mouth may be stopped. It shuts us up. Quiet. You're in trouble. That all the world may become guilty before God. I do want to distinguish this. If you're saved tonight, God's not interested in you walking around feeling guilty. Okay? If you're lost tonight, He wants you to be heaped with guilt, and the only way you're going to have that remedied is if you surrender in faith to Jesus Christ. Oh, Christian, if you're walking around with guilt, the devil's winning. You need to embrace the forgiveness of God, and if you've blown it, then you need to repent and do what's right. And conviction's good, guilt's not. Guilt's good if you're lost. It's not intended for the believer. Now he says this, therefore by the deeds of the law, by doing the law, there shall no flesh be justified. We're not going to be made right in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Remember that. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, I love, look at Galatians 3:24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. Again, the law helps us understand the bad news so that when we hear the good news, the gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we might actually think we need it. If you don't think you're going to have trouble with God, why would you ever surrender your life to anybody? Ah, but the law is good. I've told you this. I've got a million stories that aren't good. I could write a book. Before I understood how to use the law, I was always trying to convince people that they're rotten. They're pathetic. And I use those words even today. But it's after I walk them through the law of God. Have you ever lied? Have you ever stolen anything? People say no. I say, have you ever downloaded something from the internet that's not yours? Oh, well, yeah, that's stealing. You know, have you ever used the Lord's name in vain? Oh, my God! You know, you'll hear this in future weeks. Don't text OMG. I this is so sad. I'm becoming so flaky. I hate, oh my gosh. But I'm appreciating it more and more because, oh my God, is so terrible. You know? So, I wouldn't say, oh my gosh, if I were you. But, it's a euphemistic curse word. Look it up in the dictionary. It's a euphemistic curse word for God. But I'm beginning to appreciate that. I actually notice it. If I see something and somebody says, oh my gosh, I'll go like, oh, probably had Christian upbringing. At least they tried to say something other than the name of God in vain. But you know what I'd tell you? You hit your finger, go, ouch. You're surprised, go, wow. Right? You say things that make sense. Right? And you can just change your expressions. It's one of the greatest evidences that there's a God. Right? I'm telling you this. I wish I could have hit my thumb tonight with that visit. I'd be like, Muhammad! You know, but I wouldn't. But it's, nobody says that, do they? You know why the devil's not stirring them up to say that? Why is, oh my God, the most popular expression of happiness, of surprise, of disappointment? It's like, but the law is our schoolmaster. It's teaching us. You're in trouble. You need Christ to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. Psalm 19:7, I love it. The law of the Lord is perfect. The law is good. The law is perfect. Converting the soul, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I've made this plea before, and it'll just be a few of you that don't know. If you want to understand how to use the law well, you should look up Ray Comfort on YouTube. Ray Comfort, The Way of the Master, Living Waters, any of those three, you'll find great videos with people using the law. He goes up to complete strangers and said, you know, he'll just challenge them, are you a good person? And what he'll do is he'll use the law. And the amazing thing is, fewer people will get mad at you. Very few people get mad at me when I use the law. People get mad at me when I try to just play Holy Spirit. And so it is... So let me ask you this. So why did God give us the commandments? For our good, and it's to show our guilt and ultimately save us. When do we spiritually die? Are we born spiritually dead? Did I ask this question? Were we born spiritually dead? I'm going to lay out a hypothesis tonight, and I'll try to prove it with Scripture. And I want to tell you this, so just study the Bible. I don't think this enters into heresy. I don't believe we're born spiritually dead. And so now I have to prove it to you. It's why I believe babies go to heaven. They're not dead spiritually. So I ask you this. When did Adam and Eve die spiritually? So let me see if I put those verses yet. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. God told Adam and Eve this. And the Lord God commanded the man. He's just told Adam. So I think I've told you this before. You know, in Genesis chapter 3, where Eve says, you shouldn't eat it nor touch it. People say Eve lied. No, I'm sure Adam said, don't touch it, Eve. God didn't speak to Eve. It would be good instruction from Adam, right? And so Eve just assumed that she would die. So Eve didn't lie in Genesis 3. I think that's good advice. You can't eat it if you don't touch it. Yeah? I mean, bobbing for apples, I don't know. But it's, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, so he told Adam, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Did they die in the day they ate? Spiritually they did, not physically. Spiritually they died, and then they had to be born again. The first gospel message was on the first day of sin. Not only did he say that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent would bruise the heel of the seed of the woman, but then he clothed them with an animal that had to die. You don't think God told them, now the Bible didn't tell me this, I just know our great God. You think he killed the animal, clothed them with those skins, and didn't explain to them, you must be clothed in the righteousness of somebody that dies for you, and he's the Messiah. You don't think he told them that? I think he did. He illustrated it, told them that. The Bible doesn't tell us what kind of animal it was. I have a thought. It was probably a lamb. Oh, call me crazy. God is amazing, and he cared for Adam and Eve, and he clothed them with that animal, and he said, this won't save you, but you need to be clothed in the righteousness of my son. The seed of the woman. Woman doesn't have seed. But she does. When he had to be born of a virgin. That's pretty cool, right? I know, it's not very scientific, but it's amazing. So here's what I want to tell you. So I go back to this question. When did we spiritually die? When were we spiritually dead? Were we born spiritually dead? I say no. And so Adam and Eve. Here's my hypothesis, and I've got to prove it to you. I believe you die when you have the knowledge of sin. Okay? And so babies don't have the knowledge of sin. I don't. And here's what I love about God. There's not an age of accountability. There's a knowledge of accountability. And what I love about God, he perfectly knows that. There could be people without the mental capacity that are 50 years old that may not be able to have the knowledge of sin. I don't know. But God knows perfectly. You understand this? You know, I will preach the gospel to every single person, Down syndrome, mentally instable, whatever it is, to anybody. You understand that? I don't know the condition of the heart, but God does. God is perfect. But I want you to understand, I struggle with this because, you know, there's a couple of things. People, they say why they believe babies go to heaven is because David said with his son that died with Bathsheba, he said, I cannot go to him. He cannot come to me, but I can go to him. He cannot come to me, but I can go to him. You don't establish doctrine on what somebody says in the Bible unless it's God. But David sure did indicate that he had that confidence that he would see his dead son. And so that's an indication that David had that confidence. Maybe it was misplaced, but David had that confidence. But now I want to walk you through this. I want to walk you through some verses. Now this verse, it's cool. It's Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, speaking to the church at Rome. And chapter 7 is just a great chapter. He said, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. Again, we're talking about the knowledge of sin. So watch this. He said, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. And just so you can connect the dots, I'm taking you because the law in babies, I want you to understand this. If we say this, just so you know, if we say, well, you know, Babies go to heaven because God's merciful. Well, then I guess he could be merciful to anybody. You know why babies go to heaven? Because it's just. It's righteous and it's good. And if it's not, babies don't go to heaven. I'm telling you, I believe they do. But God must be consistent with his character. Understand? So what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. The law is never sin. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. Boy, that's a blessing. You wouldn't know sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. That's lust on steroids, is what that word means, concupiscence. It's just like, you know. And for without the law, sin was dead. So when he didn't have the law, sin was dead. And so verse 8's interesting. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. You can see that. My wife's just got home. Is she in the nursery or is she in here? She's in nursery. She's in nursery. Man, I should have some great stories, but I don't. But so she just got back from watching Elia and Callum, and I mean, you can see it in a 4.5-year-old. They're like, "Is that what you want me to do?" Right. I'm not doing it. And you tell them what to do, and they're going to do the opposite. That's this. But sin, taken occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. Oh, that's what I'm. And you can see it in children, right? So I want to, then verse 9, this is the crux. So have you pondered this verse? Paul says, for I, the I is Paul, okay? For I was alive without the law once. What? But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. When was Paul alive without the law? Before he knew the law. And it would be an understanding, a baby, right? When does that happen? I don't know. I'm just telling you, I've got to be careful. Some people act like it was, you know, like my parents were manipulating me somehow. I was saved right before I was 8. Let me tell you, I knew the law. I knew I was a sinner. And I was up to no good. Let me tell you, I toured the Cincinnati Zoo by myself in kindergarten. Wasn't supposed to. My neighbor was a chaperone, and she brought me home by my ear. And that's why I hate those Mattel racetracks to this day, because my mom just lit into me with the Mattel racetracks. And so I got rid of the set. But it is, I'm going to tell you this. The typical 8-year-old, oh, they know sin. I'm just telling you, I did. It wasn't manipulation by my parents. Let me just tell you, I knew sin. I knew what it was. And I knew who God was, and God blessed me. So I'm telling you this, Paul, for I was alive without the law once, that was without the knowledge of the law. So tonight, here's what I tell you, it's what I believe. Why do babies go to heaven? Because they're not dead spiritually. They haven't died spiritually. And when you look at verse 9, Paul says, for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, I think when the understanding, when the knowledge of the commandment came, sin revived and I died. He died spiritually. You wrestle over this. This is not fellowship breaking. I will tell you, though, it's the best explanation I've ever seen to help understand why would babies go to heaven. It's because they have not died yet spiritually. They are born what? Sinners. You know how we know babies are sinners? Because they can die. Right? It's the great evidence. But it is, you know, and I take you back. Let me just take you back to, how far is it back? Romans 3:19, right? Look at this. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Adam and Eve died when they had the knowledge of sin, and that happened instantly. Whatever the fruit was, when they ate the fruit, what'd they do? Eve became a seamstress. Fig leaves are us. And she made some clothing, and God said, who told you you were naked? You know what did? The law told them. They didn't know that terminology, probably. That's what told them. Because remember, the devil said this. He said, oh, you shall not surely die. Your eyes shall be opened. Was that correct? That was. half-truth, and you shall be as gods. False. The Bible says when they ate the fruit, their eyes were opened. And one of the saddest things is to know sin. And they died when they ate that fruit. You see, I want us to talk about this, you know, but to me, it's so beautiful. The scriptures are so beautiful that we understand this. Now, let's look at Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. I am not going to get to the first commandment tonight, but hold your horses. We'll have a great time in future weeks. I think that clock is right. It's a little fast. It's a little fast. Who's messing with the clock here? Because at least mine is a little fast. So look at verses 1 and 2. Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God. I can't wait to hear God's voice. What's it sound like? I do think it's booming. Right? You know why I think it's booming? They were terrified. I don't think it's like, I am the Lord thy God. You know, here's what I'd tell you to do. If your voice is like that, work on it. I am. You know, I mean, just work on it, right? Just work on it. Anyway, as a freebie. But, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and the house of bondage. You know what he's saying? I own you. I bought you out of bondage. I brought you out of Egypt. And if you're saved, he says, I own you. I own you. And he says this, I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of Egypt. We should never get over that. The greatest thing that's ever happened to me is that God saved me through Jesus Christ. It's the best day I've ever had. And the only better day is the day I die and I get to be in the presence of Christ. He owns me. And I've jotted these down, and just it's not exhaustive. We could have such a great time, but I thought, you know, we're going to move on and get to at least the first commandment next week. We'll get through all four next week. I'm going to really challenge myself with that. So duties toward God. I want you to understand this. This is our duties toward God. Just a scriptural overview. It's to love God, right? And so just some verses, you're familiar with them. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Is it wrong to love family? Not at all. But it's wrong to love family more than God. That's the issue. You should love your family. It's a big deal. But God's more important. Matthew 19. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And God answered, Jesus answered. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, the resurrection, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. It's interesting, right? And then he says this, and everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. It is the hardest part of gospel ministry is with family. Sometimes I wonder, do I create issues when I press? And I'm not going to change. I'm going to press for you to reach family, get people here for Easter. Go again. Let them mock you again. Be kind. Be loving. Don't be mean. Don't give up on your family. But don't let your family draw you into sin. And so, everyone that's forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold. It says in the Gospel of Mark, in this life. Didn't say in my lifetime, right? So I'm just telling you, God will hundredfold. Hundredfold's a joke can turn in terms of eternal rewards. I'd like a hundredfold, wouldn't you? Invest 1,000. Oh, I get 100,000. Oh, well, that's a good return, right? He's saying in this life, eternal blessings are far greater. But he says this, right? So it's this. It's duties toward God, love him, think upon him. Just look at these verses here. Malachi, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Do you think about the Lord? Is he on your mind? I would say constantly, right? Psalm 63, verse 6, 7, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Really, when you see these duties are good for us. You love God, you think upon him, you'll be blessed. Remember him. He says this in Ecclesiastes. You guys are familiar with this. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Let me just tell you, in the days of your youth, the devil wants to steal your youth. He wants to steal your youth. He wants to derail you. And man, he's got the glitz and the glamour, and he'll derail you. Vincent, I want you to know this. It is this. God's real, the Bible's true, and it's worth it. Okay? Preachers can be losers. Would you agree with that? What? Yes, they can be, okay? God never fails. I want you to know this. I want you to have this confidence. The God we serve is big enough that he preserved a book for us, okay? Don't ever forget it. You know what we do when we sin? We forget God's right here. Mm-hmm. How many times have I thought it, and you guys have shared it with me? They said this, if I just remember that God's right here with me, in fact, he indwells me, he lives with me, I would not sin. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, that means old age, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Yep, I'm falling apart. But I guess I'll live vicariously through your youth. Right? But I need to remember my creator at all times. Duties to God, esteem him. Esteem, that means lift him up, exalt him. You know, we of all people ought not to be trashing God in our minds, right? Ought not to be trashing God in our minds, but we do. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee? I love Peter's response when Jesus said, will you also go? Peter said, to whom shall we go? It's as though he thought about it. Well, there's nobody else, Lord. I've thought about this, and you're the best. I want you to remember this. Life is going to be difficult, and Christians can let you down. Churches can let you down. Preachers can let you down. Family can let you down. God doesn't. Esteem him great. Esteem him worthy. Esteem him as good. And it's our duty. And then finally, fifth, delight in him. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Again, I've talked this before. Does that mean if you want a pink Cadillac, you're going to get a pink Cadillac? No, but if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desire. So when you desire it, what you desire is what he desires. And if you desire what he desires, he'll give it. Follow me? When we're walking with God, our desires will be his desires. And that's delighting ourselves in the Lord. And so I'm not going to get to commandment one. Commandment one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And just so you know, saved you a page and a half of notes tonight. I want you to ponder, and we'll go over them next Wednesday. Ponder these first four commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in vain. And remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I want you to ponder those. God kept it simple, but wrapped up in all these is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. The law is one of the best things God ever did for us, that we would know we're in trouble. The best thing ever is Jesus. His work is the only work that can overcome our law breaking.